You're listening to SBS News.
Mark Myerson remembers the moment when he received the request to travel to join aid workers in Gaza. He was on the way back from a camping trip, stopping for lunch with his wife Katrina Elliott, a fellow aid worker.
And a message pinged through on my phone. I looked at the message and immediately I think I said something like, "Oh, it's Red Cross." And Katrina just looked at me, and after I'd read the message, she said something like, "Oh, it's about Gaza, isn't it?" And I said, "Yes, it is." And she said, "I can tell by the look on your face you really want to go, don't you?" And I just said, "Yes, I really, really want to go." So that was the call up.
Katrina admits she had mixed feelings.
I confess there were some butterflies in my tummy thinking about him going to Gaza, but I knew the need for assistance and for medical care was so great there.
Within a fortnight, Mark was making the challenging journey into a war zone. From Egypt, moving through Rafah Crossing into Gaza. With expertise in water and sanitation, he joined aid workers drawn from members of the International Committee of the Red Cross. Their task, to build a field hospital within 5 weeks. In an area where tens of thousands of displaced Gazans had fled.
It really was go, go, go. Seven days. We would be up when the sun's up and then hands-on work, you know, everything from setting up the electricity supply, the water and sanitation system for the hospital, the tents.
Those on the ground were wary of the dangers. According to the Aid Workers Security Database, 255 aid workers have been killed in the occupied Palestinian territories since October 7. For Mark, the conflict was a constant companion in his work.
Feeling the shockwave from explosions, we would be hearing drones, we'd be hearing jets, you know, the sounds of shelling and small arms fire, all those things are sort of constant visual and auditory reminders, I suppose. There were only two other field hospitals in the same sort of broad location that we were operating. They were under heavy stress already in terms of population needs. And yes, we had people regularly asking, "When are you opening?"
When that day finally came, there are large queues out the door for care. The field hospital opened with a capacity for 200 patients, among them a pregnant mother. Mark says he had vivid recall of that moment and what happened afterwards with the birth of her child.
There was a real elation and joy, I think, in the team, medical team and the tech team that were there for the hospital at that time as a reminder of why we're there and the benefit that's going to be there for the community.
When disaster and conflict escalate, Australian aid agencies say they experience a surge in interest from volunteers. But as Adrian Prowse, the head of international programs at the Australian Red Cross, points out, most of those on the front line are locals.
The vast majority of humanitarians are local. You know, they're living within their communities. They're the volunteers, they're the staff members who are responding to those small-scale disasters, those much more localised disasters that their community needs support in terms of responding to.
For Mark, leaving them behind was far from easy. The days after he had touched down back home in Brisbane, colleagues at the hospital he helped build were responding to a mass casualty event, a deadly strike on Rafah's refugee camp. The Red Cross say the hospital received around 30 patients that night alone, seven in a critical condition.
It is really hard to leave because not only you're leaving people in a very challenging environment with the active conflict, the local population are facing this day in and day out, and you get to come home, and that is a challenging thought. Those people are constantly in your mind when you come back.
Mark admits he still gets nervous before a trip. Gaza is his third international deployment. His first in 2014 was to Malaysia in the wake of severe flooding. Then in 2018 he was sent to Myanmar for a 12-month stint in the dangerous Rakhine State. With those long deployments, family can seem far away. He drew support from his wife Katrina, also an aid worker, who has shared experience of working abroad.
I went to Rwanda, and then when I came back, Mark left for Malaysia, and then I went to Afghanistan. So it was a lot of, a little bit like ships in the night. But as I said, I think understanding why we do it makes a big difference.
Mark says the motivation has never changed and, if anything, has only strengthened over the years.
And seeing such great need in these areas of the world, particularly conflict and disaster settings, for me that was the driver, the need, and seeing other people who inspired me to want to do that work.
Naveen Razeek, SBS News.